But I greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus again. I'd like for you this morning to take your Bibles and turn to Jonah, the book of Jonah. Jonah is a story that we probably heard from young up. For the children here this morning, it's always fun to hear stories. So this morning we're going to hear a story about a man who was swallowed by a big fish. I love to fish, but I have never caught a fish this big. So we're going to read through a lot of the book, actually all of the book of Jonah this morning. And I want us to pay attention as we go through Jonah here, excuse me, of who Jonah thought the most of. Let's see if we can catch that as we go through this. I'm going to be reading out of the NLT this morning. I have my wife's Bible with me up here instead of my own. But just to make it a little bit more understandable, I'd like to read out of the NLT. So beginning in verse 1, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. And this is what he told him. He said, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are." So if I was Jonah at that point, I would probably have said, "Wait a minute, God. I love sharing Jesus with people, but you want me to actually go to this big city? And you want me to tell them that they're on the wrong track? It's not a good city." We're not going to go into the history this morning, but it was not a good history there of Jonah going into their city to share Jesus. Specifically telling them that they are a wicked people. Verse 3, "But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord." Who was Jonah thinking about at this point? Somebody tell me. He was thinking about himself. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. He's got the same idea that we have sometimes. God, you can't see me anyhow. I'm going to do what I like to do. I'm on my own. I'll meet you Sunday morning. "But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold." Again, he was thinking about his own comfort. It's about myself. See where I was at here. "So the captain went down after him." And this is what he told him. He said, "How can you sleep at a time like this? Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Here we have a man of God that was supposed to be out on a job that God had given him, a call that God had given him. And the men cast lots, and where did it fall on? On Jonah. He was the one that was the cause of what was happening here. Let's go to verse 8. "Why has this awful storm come down upon us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. "Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to stop this storm? What should we do to you to stop this storm?" I don't think they expected the answer that Jonah gave them. Here's what Jonah told them. He said, "Throw me into the sea, and it will become calm again." I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. O Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. O Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Then the sailors picked up Jonah, and they threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. I was out of the way. Jonah was tossed into the sea, and the storm was over. Verse 16. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. You know, it's interesting here. Jonah ran from what God was calling him to. God used him anyhow. Look at what happened to the sailors here. They vowed to serve God. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. Jonah's finally on his knees inside the fish, is my guess. He was praying whatever condition, situation he was in. He was praying. He says, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, O Lord. You heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. Children, can you imagine Jonah being inside this big fish? And it was so nasty in there, there was seaweed wrapped around his head. It did not smell good. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. It even looks here like Jonah was thankful. Finally, it would seem like it was about God. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. And my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. So right now it's looking like Jonah's all excited. God, I will offer sacrifices to you. It's still I. But he's saying here, I'm going to do what I think I should do here. I will follow you. Then we get to chapter 3. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time, Jonah obeyed. Jonah didn't want another fish experience. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message. From the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. I want us to think about the difference here between the man that was sharing what God's going to do and the people that heard it. Jonah was still excited about himself. Oh, he was willing to do God's work. But there was still something about it that he wanted what he wanted. The ungodly people that he was sharing with, it says they put on sackcloth. Which verse was I at there? Sackcloth in verse 3. They declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. Sackcloth is what's in the King James Version. So they were sorrowful. They were fasting. They didn't want to be destroyed. They wanted safety. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, and this was the decree, not even the animals from your herds and flocks may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. Think about what was going through the people's minds at this point. Destruction was coming unless there was a change made. I know in my own heart, and I think every one of us knows this morning, I have to leave. That's not proper English, I know that. But Lynn has to die. These people were willing to do whatever it took for God's fierce anger to be stopped. They were willing to get on their knees in repentance. They were real. I had an instance happen this week, and I'm not going to share what that instance was. But something came up where Lynn thought he needed to stand. And later on, I found out, as I sought the Lord, that I don't have to make it about myself. I can make it about God, not me. When I make it about myself, I stress. I'm guessing each one, if you could say the same thing. We stress and life gets difficult and hard. But when we're willing to make it about God, as the people were doing here, that wasn't easy either. They were doing without food. The king took off his royal robes. There was no royalty left there. What did it do? It brought them all on the same level, didn't it? At the foot of the cross, we are all the same. There is no difference at the foot of the cross. Verse 10, in chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, this morning, when we came to the foot of the cross, what Satan had in mind stopped. When we said yes to Jesus, his plan in our lives could continue to work. He drew us to himself. He desires us. He wants us to be on his team. I can't imagine what it's like for God to look down and watch us when we go our own way. There's a compassion that he has that just draws. He has such a great love for us. God showed his love here to the people in Nineveh. And he said, I'm not going to do what I planned because they're going to serve me. God deserves our worship. Let's go to chapter 4. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. Now Jonah's starting to show up again. He became very angry. I don't think this is just a light anger. So he complained to the Lord about it. He said, didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? Jonah knew God good enough to know that God was going to carry out his plan, regardless of him. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. That's something we should rejoice in the fact that God is slow to anger. He loves us. He's slow to get angry. He's filled with unfailing love. Jonah said, "You are eager to turn back from destroying people." Look what Jonah says now. "Just kill me. Take my life. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predict will not happen." The Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?" So now Jonah goes out to the east side of the city, and he made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And I don't know where Jonah was. Was there a hill outside of the city that he could see across the city or not? But somehow he could see the city. He goes out and he fixes himself a little spot. He sits down, and I'm guessing he was pouting. And he wanted to see, "God, what are you really going to do?" And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. I'm guessing this is the place where Jonah probably sunk down just a little bit lower. He's stuck his feet out in front of him. "I have it made. God even prepared shade for me." This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. "Death is certainly better than living like this," he exclaimed. Again, Jonah has still not thought about anybody but himself. Excuse me. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? "Yes," Jonah retorted, "even angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?" A little bit of an unusual ending here. God reminding Jonah that there's 120,000 people here that I care about. And you're doing nothing but sitting here pouting about yourself. I didn't title my message this morning. But as I read through this, I was just reminded again how much we are about ourselves. This is not a message to point fingers this morning. It's a message for me to go home and look in the mirror. God still used Jonah's message to bring people to himself. I don't know what happened to the messenger here. We don't really have anything here that tells us. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we have where the disciples were gathered together. There were quite a few disciples of Christ here, actually. They were told they are to wait because the Holy Spirit was coming. So here they are gathered together. It says on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2 of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. I'm not going to read down through the next section there, but it talks about all the different people that were gathered together from a whole bunch of different places. These were people that were not from the same groups. They were different groups that were gathered together here. But they heard the same thing. They experienced the same thing. But there was a crowd. Let's go to verse 13. There was a crowd close by that was watching. Their idea was they're just drunk. We got a bunch of people here that are drunk this morning. That's what they were looking at. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd. Peter steps out and he starts preaching. He starts telling them, this is what this is all about. The prophet Joel had told us, this is going to happen. And now it's finally taking place. I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God has made a way for each one of us this morning. It doesn't matter who we are. I don't care if you're from Sturgis, if you're from North Dakota, or where you're from this morning. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We just came back from Thailand, 2 months ago? 3 months? I can't remember. They don't look like us. They don't dress like us. They're totally different. They eat different foods. By the way, I love Thai food. They're totally different. But we met people that love the Lord. Exactly what it says here. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. I want you to see what happened at the end of this chapter. Let's go to verse 38. Actually, let's go to verse 36. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter was very clear. He said, you're the reason he was crucified. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? They saw their need. They began to ask, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Verse 41 says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. Can you imagine? What a beautiful picture. 3,000 that met the Lord that day. Now there's something else I want you to see in the rest of the chapter here. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All the while, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. What happened to the people? When the Holy Spirit came in, there was a change. All of a sudden they began to love. Would I be willing to sell some of my property so my brother or my sister could have food to eat? There were people here from a whole bunch of different areas. This wasn't home to them. They were together for quite a while here. I'm guessing eventually they went back home. But for right now, they just wanted to be together. All they wanted to do was worship and be together as a group and serve God. Totally different picture that we had with Jonah, isn't it? Jonah wanted to be by himself. I want what I want. I'm not going to go the direction that God wants me to go. These people saw their need, and they responded with open hearts, and God moved. That's my challenge this morning. Let's go home today. Let's get on our knees before God. Let's ask God to show us, where are we? What do you want? And if He shows us, are we willing to obey? Are we willing to walk in what He asks of us? We can do what Jonah did. We can run. Watch out for the fish. Or we can do what they did here. There was so much excitement because they had met Jesus. My question this morning, if I have met Him, am I walking in obedience? Is this showing, just like it says here, they loved each other so much. We love God and we love people. That's what He asks of us. I want to bless each one of you here this morning. God's still working on me. There's times He has to tear something down so He can build it back up. Sometimes we're like a glass or a vase. He takes us and He breaks us in pieces so He can put us back together the way He desires. I think I shared this before. If you have a glass or a vase and it's broken and you put it back together, as the sunlight hits it, it creates a prism. Beautiful colors. If we really want God to use us for His kingdom, then we have to allow Him to break us. It's painful. It's not fun. But we have a group here. I could call any of you here this morning. I'm guessing even our visitors. I could call you this morning when I face a difficult time and I'm broken. And I know you'd be willing to pray with me. I want to thank you for that. That's all I have this morning. Would you stand? God, this morning we just again want to bless You. Thank You so much for these two stories and how You move regardless of what we do, but You're still going to move. Your will is still going to be done. But Lord, we want to be involved in what You're doing. We want Your Spirit, Lord, to work within us. I pray, Lord, that You would begin with me. Lord, that You would break us the way You need us to be broken, so You can use us for Your kingdom. Father, I pray that we would be here for each other. that we would lift each other up, that we would pursue holiness, pursue you. You're what we're after. Forgive us for the times, Lord, where we've been so selfish, just like Jonah. We want it what we want it. We love you so much, God. We just want to bless you this morning. Would you dismiss us with your grace, your peace? And Lord, we want to seek hard after you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.